As we come to the table of the Lord tonight, I want to go to a passage that many who participate in the God School are familiar with. And whom I pray stay familiar with. Before we do that, though, I do need to make a slight correction to something I said in the message this morning. I said I attributed that the words of Jesus, you know, you've not chosen me, I have chosen you. I said that was the 14th chapter of John. No, actually, it's John 15, 16. I don't want anyone to lose the full meaning of the message by thinking that I misquoted the scriptures. So, I make that errata, that correction now. But back to this communion table, back to this table of the Lord, back to this table of grace. I want to take us to Exodus chapter 21. And read. First six verses. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If you buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he come in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master. And he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he, that is the servant, shall serve him forever. This is a type of Jesus of which there are multitudes presented in the Old Testament. As we often say, the New Testament is enfolded in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is unfolded in the New. When we come to this table, the instruction that we have is that we are to do this in remembrance of Jesus. This is called the type of the perfect servant. In this description, God is giving us of Jesus. It says, he shall serve him 6 years. That six is the number of a man. And it says, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. In Jesus's high priestly prayer, not that which we call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 or Luke 11, but because Jesus never prayed that prayer, because that prayer includes forgive us our sins, and he never had sin. He says, in the fourth verse of John 17, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. But he goes on to say, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Jesus had every right to go back and to be restored, having completed that which God gave him to do, the 6 years, and he could go out free by himself. But he tells us of the relationship between he and his Father, which he calls in this Exodus passage, the Master. You gave these to me. And he's speaking of his church. He had the right to go out free. But the fifth verse says, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then what was to happen was he was to be brought before the judge. And have his ear nailed or bored through at the doorpost. He says, if he says, I love my master, and my wife and children. This which Jesus did, he did both for the love of his Father and the love of of his wife. And his children. As we look to the elements at this table, and through them, remember Jesus, we should also, with discernment, that is understanding, that in this passage of Exodus 21, we can't find any activity done by the wife of the children. It is only that which the master and the perfect servant do. That's why it's improper at this table to take the phrase in 1 Corinthians 11, let us examine ourselves. That's not a right translation. Because the wife and children didn't do a thing. They're just beneficiary recipients of what the master and the perfect servant have done. That phrase in 1 Corinthians 11. Where it says, but let a man examine himself. What it's saying is, but let a man examine for himself. And if he find the truth, so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. We come to this table always with teaching, always the subject, the remembrance of Jesus and what he has done. It's amazing to look unto Jesus. It says in this passage, in the 6th verse, sorry, I'm going to so many places, I lost my place, but because being a man, I'm subject to error, I'm going to go back and read. It says, and if the servant plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he, that is the perfect servant, shall serve him forever. if we go to the New Testament, to the 12th chapter, 37th verse, speaking of Jesus, it says, "Truly I say unto you," speaking of himself, "that he shall gird himself." Let me back up, give you the whole verse. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching, looking not only for, but to the Lord. When the Lord comes to those who are watching," he says, "verily I say unto you that he," that is the Lord, "shall gird himself and make them," that is those who are looking to and for Jesus, "he shall make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." "Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the minds of men what God has in store for those who wait," those who dig into, those who look for the Lord. And at this table of grace, we look through this cup to what Jesus did for both his Father and for us. He gave his life that we might. And he gave his body that we might have wholeness and wellness in life. Take these elements today. Thanking God for what his word has revealed to us as to what he has done and what he will continue to do and what he is doing for Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.